Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. It's another beautiful day up here in Canada, and I hope it's the same where you are. Today, we have an excellent show lined up, and it's actually a follow-up show to one of our previous shows. We spoke about a month ago with Laura McCafferty, and on that show, we were speaking about the importance of understanding what we care about. It was a really great conversation. And then we took it a little bit further and we started to speak a little bit about what actions we take and how those actions are based on our cares. So I've asked Laura to come back and join us again because I think there's so much more depth that we can go into here. But we're going to be changing the topic a little bit and we're going to be speaking about self-care. And I wanted to spend time with Laura again today speaking about how do we grow through self-care. Before we get into the conversation and before I bring Laura on, I wanted to give all of you a little bit more information about her in case you didn't catch her on our first show. Laura is the founder and operator of Inspired Coaching and Development, and she is strongly based on the promises that she makes. She makes a promise to support executives, leaders, and teams to connect to what they care about, to take new action and produce meaningful results, both personally and professionally. And as the owner of Inspired Coaching and Development, Laura is passionate about having conversations that matter and that help her clients to flourish. Laura is a master at this, and I hope you catch her on our first show because the information that she gives out is grounded and it is so wise, Laura. I call you Yoda, and you know I call you Yoda. But I just love that you're willing to come back and share some of that wisdom with all of us. So, Laura, welcome back. Thanks for coming again.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Jen. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about a subject matter that it's well spoken about. And everyone has a basic concept of self-care. Everybody knows, if you ask somebody what it means to have self-care, they'll say things like, well, we need to put ourselves first, or we need to exercise, or we need to eat well. Perhaps they say we need to meditate. They'll have ideas about what that is, but I want to dig a little deeper with you so that we can give more of a foundation for individuals. So when you say self-care, what do you mean by self-care?
What a great question to start with, Jenna. That to me, self-care is another way of saying and living and practicing self-love and self-acceptance. It to me, those three ways of living are all wrapped up in the same thing. And self-care is the way that we live out and practice how much we love and accept ourselves.
And I find that so interesting because my perception is that most individuals take on self-care coming from a place of lack or less than or fear. They come from a place of I am not worthy, or I am not there yet, or I want to be over here. And that's really coming from a lack perspective. And when I hear you say it's based on self-love and self-acceptance, that's the other side of it. That's not coming from lack. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I feel like the work that we're doing in the realm of self-care these days is so important for that very reason that you've just outlined. I feel like in the work that I've been doing with women in our community around self-care, oftentimes we approach self-care with an interpretation that leaves us feeling guilty and fearful, just like you've said. Oftentimes we view self-care as being I've got to go get my toenails painted and a pedicure and a massage every week. And that's what it means to look after myself. And while that may be true, that while those things may be components of someone's self-care practices, if we view it as only those things, I feel like it leaves us with a definition that turns it into something that's really selfish and degraded and not and missing some of the more vital components that allow us to feel empowered and alive and like we truly are working to and living to love ourselves. I feel like when we view self-care as something that is that makes us feel bad or wrong or really selfish, those actually are not the practices of self-care that I really work to help women introduce and practice in their lives.
Such an important point. Again, I love that because I know for me and myself, I've taken your intentional self-care program, which is fantastic. And a switch for me that happened within that program was that most of the actions that I was taking around self-care were based on where I didn't think I was good enough. And with your wisdom, your Yoda, you bring in this idea of it's not even about, it's so much further behind the action that the work is taking place. You know, when I hear self-love and self-acceptance, yes, there is eventual outcome in action that I'm going to take, but it's more of a conversation for me that I'm having with myself. Like you just said, what's driving it? Mm-hmm. You know, really holding ourselves accountable to question ourselves, what is making me take this action? So I think that's so vitally important.
Yeah. It's, you know, and the other thing that you mentioned a few moments ago too, I think is worthwhile taking a look at is when, you know, if self-care is an area of importance in someone's life, if one of your listeners, for instance, today is listening and thinking that I'd really like to be able to improve my level of self-care, where it feels like this is an area of life where I've not really been paying attention, we can look at that and see that there's gaps between what we're doing and how we're living today compared to where we really want to be or desire our self-care to be. And we can look at those gaps and view them as problems and, you know, feel more badly about ourselves and further deplete our sense of empowerment and self-esteem. Or we can take a step back and move more into a mood of design and maybe see where there's been some missing practices or missing skills and get the help that we need, get someone else's support who can help us to design the way forward so that we begin to, you know, slowly and consistently close the gaps between how I'm practicing self-care today and really where I want it to be. I think that's an important shift to be able to realize that we don't have to view this as a problem or as a way to feel bad about ourselves. We can actually move more into a space of designing and creating some of the practices and solutions to getting us more in a place of taking better care.
And another piece that's coming up for me as I hear you speak about that is the shift from doing things to maybe for the pleasing of others. Even in self-care, I found that a lot of the things that I was doing was actually based on approval of others, even if it's supposed to be mine. And when we approach self-care from that different place of designing, then it moves back to being about us. And whenever we go forward from that place, it makes us stronger, more grounded, more foundational, and then we have an effect on others. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, from my experience, and, you know, I'm a student of self-care as well. It's not like I've got it all figured out and I do it without flaw. I actively practice and observe how I'm doing with self-care every day. And so what I've seen and experienced in my own practice of it is that when I view self-care or self-love or self-acceptance as foundational, it helps me to see that it's upon my self-care, which every other aspect of my life is feeling nourished and heightened and enlivened or not. And so what I mean by that is when I'm feeling like my practices of self-care are strong and I'm fully committed to them, I notice things like I'm more able to be light and to play and take time for creative endeavors. I'm much more likely to make more powerful offers in the world with the work that I do. That enhances and strengthens my public identity. When I'm taking care of myself, I show up as a different person. It impacts my intuition and my sensibilities. It impacts positively the relationships that I have in my life with my loved ones, my friends, my colleagues. It changes my sense of health, both, you know, in terms of my mindset, my physical health, my emotional health, and my spirituality. It enhances my sense of being centered and present and grounded. So all of these aspects of my life and who I am are enhanced when my practices of self-care are aligned and when I'm committed to them. That's what I've found.
And I've found the same. I think that there's a direct relationship to that. And being an individual who is looking to serve others in how I go about myself in this world, it was vitally important for me to understand that connection. Honestly, until I understood that connection, it was difficult for me to step into having self-care as part of my daily routine and my life, because I saw it as separate from what I was trying to do. You know, if I have a role in life or different roles in life, we have multiple roles, and I almost compartmentalize that separate from self-care. So I love what you just said, because the connection is direct. It is the closest connection to who we are being is in this place of self-care, as you just so wonderfully explained. Can you talk a little bit about, you spoke about some of the realms of self-care, but can you give our listeners a better idea of the different realms of self-care? So what people can look at in their life around self-care?
Sure. One of the most powerful places that I've found in working on self-care is to look first at promises, how we are managing and fulfilling the promises that we make in our life. This has always proven to be a real illuminating topic for the women that I've worked with, because we tend not to see that there's a direct correlation to how I'm making and managing promises and my sense of overall well-being and self-care. When we make promises in our life and we take care of them, we take actions to fulfill them to the satisfaction of the person that we've promised to, we see that things in our life, like our sense of self-esteem, our sense of success, our ability to trust, and the relationships that we have are all enhanced and strengthened. Conversely, when we make and manage promises more poorly, when we're not fulfilling them, we see that those same things, our sense of success, our sense of self-esteem, our trust in others and ourselves, and our self-esteem or our relationships all tend to plummet and decline. And so looking at how are we fulfilling the promises that we're making is a real interesting place to look first, because it relates so closely to self-care. And further to that, to take a look at what kind of patterns might we begin to see when it comes to making promises and keeping them. Are we really good at keeping the promises that we make to our coworkers or our family or our friends, and really not so good or consistent at keeping the promises that we make to ourselves? Is there a pattern in terms of the domains in which we make promises? So I might be really good at making promises in the domain of showing up on time to appointments, but maybe I'm not so good at keeping the promises in the domain of exercise and working out. You know, those are some themes that over the last few years I've seen can show up for women and for men around promises, and that can be really illuminating.
And I know that well, being a almost recovered people pleaser. I spent a great deal of my time and energy fulfilling promises that I made to others. And it was truly at the detriment of myself, because I, as you just spoke about, I was never in the equation. So I would always, and I still can find myself in this place when I'm not grounded, of fulfilling everybody, the promises that I make to everybody else around me, and never fulfilling the promises that I make to myself. And even further to that, years back when I didn't even make promises to myself because I didn't have time, which is interesting, right?
Yeah. And to connect it back to our earlier conversation that some of your listeners may have been part of, when we make commitments or when we make promises to things that we really don't care about, that's when we tend to fall into moods of obligation and resignation and resentment and sacrifice. And to me, those kinds of moods and words are not aligned with the true essence of self-care.
And the moods that we find ourselves in because of that affects everything around us. Mm-hmm. And so we are having an impact one way or the other.
Yes. Yeah.
And the choice is really ours. So what's another realm that you want to speak about there?
Yeah, for self-care, another place to look can be, I would say certainly the place to start would be around taking a look at promises and how commitments are being made in alignment with what we care about or not. Taking a look at what you've already spoken of, Jenna, around people pleasing. Am I doing things for other people and forsaking what I care about or what I might need? Another interesting place to consider is in looking around at the physical environment that you find yourself in. And this has been so impactful for me. When I consider the link between my physical space and my internal environment, there's a direct correlation to am I living in or working in an environment that is messy or disorganized or chaotic? Because if I am, chances are that's going to be a reflection of my inner state being messy and disorganized and chaotic. And so paying attention to that and taking action to remove clutter, remove things that we no longer love or care about, and enhancing space with the things that we do love and we feel add to our spirit and our sense of well-being and inner peace. Those are some real pragmatic sorts of steps that we can take to start to make and notice what it does for our sense of self-care.
And there's a level of accountability to that. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, a level of accountability. And I think it can be something that we tend to not really give a lot of credence to, that, you know, if my desk is really messy with papers and stuff all over the place, that I may not see that creates a a buzz, an energetic buzz within me that keeps going until things are more settled and cleared. And, you know, and I think it makes such a big difference for the people who have made those kinds of changes. The reports are that it, you know, it has a significant impact on their sense of stability and groundedness.
And yeah, and the chatter. It's I see physical disorganization around me as chatter. It creates mental chatter for me, which, as you were just speaking about, is that chaos in the mind, right?
Yeah.
It can be very true. And there's a couple of other things that I've noticed around self-care that can come up. And so there's all these beautiful offshoots to this, and that's what I love about this subject is, you know, things that come up like finding your voice. You know, when we start to look at the promises that we make, to who we're making the promises, how are we fulfilling the promises, are we part of that? We start looking around in our environment and understanding that there's all of these lovely, you know, I think about just lovely little ribbons that come off of this work. And one of them I know for me was about finding my voice, not the voice I thought everyone else required of me.
Yeah, I found that too, that finding your voice, that's a really nice way to say that our connections to things like being able to decline and feel like we can say no, or feel like we even know how to say no, or have the body to be able to say no or to decline requests that people make of us. And being able to set those kinds of boundaries and to be able to take a stand for ourselves in that way is such a vital practice when it comes to self-care that, like you experienced and I certainly have experienced, can feel really difficult and scary. And that's a place where if we can find support and get someone to help us with that, can make such an important difference in our level of self-care. And of course, that's also connected to, are we making the requests that are important so that we get what we need? You know, it goes without saying that you're not very often going to get what you don't ask for. And for many of us, especially the women that I've worked with over the last few years, asking for what we want and what we need, again, is a practice that oftentimes is missing, and we forget the power that comes with making effective requests.
And the piece of that that I know from personal experience and from just work on other things with women in particular, is when we start to pay attention to that, and I know you use the word declaration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we are able to make requests and of ourselves and others, then it goes there. It always started for me from making a request to fulfill a need, because I felt a hole. I felt that there was a big hole that I was trying to fill. So I was trying to have other people fill the hole. And I think that that's a route or a road that we can go down if we're not connected in on a deeper level of self-care. Mm-hmm. And versus when we are truly connected and we're coming from a place of self-love and self-acceptance and we start to pay attention, then we're not trying to fill a hole through other people anymore. We are the foundation. And other people are the enhancements. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's really connected to my experience as well, what I was saying earlier about this feels like the nucleus upon which everything else revolves and emerges in my life. When I'm taking these sorts of actions to ask for what I want or what I need, when I'm capable of taking a stand and saying no, even at the risk of disappointing people, when I can keep the promises that I make to myself and to others in a way that's really grounded and grounded in self-care, then all of those other relationships are enhanced, and they come from a place of greater strength and stability. Absolutely.
And with that stability comes so much more. You know,
yeah.
The picture of the tree.
The tree, yeah, with its really deep-rooted system held together by the strength of the earth, and it's able to move and to be agile because it's got such strong strong roots. And, you know, that connects to me to another really important area of self-care, which you refer to in your introduction around like practices to like meditation. When that would be an example of a practice that helps us to connect more to our body and to our inner state, rather than living upstairs in our heads and in the mental, using our mental faculties all the time, which is really such a high tendency for us in our culture these days. When we can include practices every day for stillness and for quiet, for accessing that inner wisdom, again, that's a practice that further enhances our sense of being grounded and present, so that we can be there for the people in our lives that we care about and want to serve and help and support. These, you know, all of these things that we've talked about, Jenna, I find are so interdependent. It's not like you can have one without impacting the rest. As soon as you make changes in one area, it automatically changes the rest of them. So I think that can be a really positive way to look at it, that it's not like I have to get it all perfect and right. It's that, can I start to make some small steps towards taking better care, towards showing that I love myself more, and I'm definitely going to feel and experience that it's made changes in other areas.
It is deeply, deeply connected. And so for those individuals that are listening, and perhaps they're looking to go out and take some sort of action, and they're because that's societal, that's cultural, that is the way we tend to want to progress with things, is to take some sort of action. What would be a couple of questions that you could pose to them that may slow that down a bit, so they're not so focused on the actions that they take, but they're asking those questions beforehand to build this nucleus, this stability, before they take the action?
Yeah, sure. So a couple of questions that I think can be really great to start with would be, what is my current interpretation of self-care? When I think about self-care, what is it? What does it include? What am I doing now for my self-care? What do I avoid doing for my self-care? And another spin-off question could be, If I was to really take good care of myself, what would I add and what would have to change? And then another question, so you see, you ask a coach some questions and I just keep going. I just can start rattling them off. Another question would be, if I really took good care of myself, what would my life look like?
Beautiful. And I think if people can start there, instead of automatically going to the, well, I'm going to start running tomorrow. You know, that's so, we're so quick to jump to that. Mm-hmm. And so I love those questions that let's stop and have a conversation with ourselves, mm-hmm. so that we can be really grounded in the actions that we're willing to take when we move forward. So I love this conversation, Laura. I think it's so, so important. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up?
Final thoughts just would be to look at the question, if it's one that's important to you for whatever reason, if it's showing up and connecting with you, then I'd say just take a look and find someone to have a conversation with about it. And you're not alone. Self-care is such an important topic and a missing practice for so many of us. So find a partner and get talking about it. I think that's probably the most important first step.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Laura, it's always a pleasure. I think I could talk to you for hours and hours. I know I could. But thank you. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time again and speaking to us. I know you'll be back. And I know all of our listeners would love to hear more from you. So thank you for being here. If you want to just give the listeners some information on how they can find out more about you, that would be fantastic.
Sure. My website is probably the best way to go with that, Jenna. And the address there is inspiredcoach.ca.
Great. Thank you so much, Laura. And for all the listeners, thank you for spending time with Laura and myself. Please join me next time. We are here live on the second and fourth Mondays of every month, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard, 2 p.m. Eastern, as we continue to learn, grow, and expand together. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.